You're listening to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor.
Good morning, good evening, wherever, whenever you may be listening. I'm John Vogel, and welcome to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place for you to start your podcast. It is a Thursday morning, fellas. Apparently today, there's about to be a bombshell report on the Washington Redskins. It's going to make this whole name change thing disappear. But they've been teasing it, and they've been teasing it. Supposedly, let the record for this, you know, like, let it state here. This is what's being said. Supposedly, from what I have heard, it is a lot of sexual assault. There's a lot of drug and alcohol abuse within the organization. A few players, a few coaches, Jay Gruden, very much involved. I mean, this has been kind of known for a while, so I don't know why this is a bombshell report all of a sudden. And the minority owners are holding it against Dan Snyder. So this is Dan's, we've discussed on this show. Yeah, I know. I'm going straight into stuff. I had no introduction today, no nothing. Dan Snyder has been holding out on this name change thing because he's been trying to get the minority owners to sell their stake. The minority owners, however, are playing hardball, trying to get maximum value for their stock. But it became clear they weren't going to get maximum value. That's not an option at this point. And so they've decided to unveil all of this, so to speak, in an attempt to overthrow Dan Snyder. So Dan Snyder may be on the way out. We will see when the full report drops. Should be around 8 or 9 this morning that it should be coming. So keep your eyes pinned for it. It's going to be nasty. It's going to be a lot of stuff, a lot of ugly stuff, and it's going to put a stain on the sport. Now that we have that out of the way, I'm sure that will be the topic. We may spend an entire podcast episode on this tomorrow, once everything breaks. But there's the gist of it. It's a lot of stuff that is not good. And it's a lot of incriminating, damning stuff. And if the Redskins at the Washington organization can rebound from it, they're going to be fine. Anyways, all right, let's get into some stuff here. The last couple days have been really interesting. I think we want to start with the SEC. Commissioner Greg Sankey showed up and appeared on OutKick yesterday to do an interview and was asked questions about the return of SEC football. He was cautiously optimistic about the entire thing, pointing out that the SEC is not to that point yet where they are looking to cancel their out-of-conference games. Now, a few out-of-conference games have already been canceled due to the Pac-12 and the Big Ten canceling those games. I believe the ACC is still on the fence, but has been leaning toward canceling games as well. If the ACC were to cancel these out-of-conference games, the SEC would lose many of their classic rivals. Florida, Florida State, South Carolina, Clemson, Georgia, Georgia Tech. The list goes on. Kentucky, Louisville. These are all annual rivalries that are played between the two conferences. That would be lost if the ACC were to indeed cancel their out-of-conference games. Now, this was also asked as well, and Greg Sankey seemed to not really know what was going on with all that in the ACC. Now, generally, these games are played last week of the season, so you would think that might be an acceptable thing to do, but we'll soon find out. We'll see here in the near future. That being said, I think it is worth pointing out that the SEC has always been among the last to react. They're very conservative in their approach. This is one of the reasons why a lot of sports media hates the SEC, because they are slow to react to things and they stick to their guns for the most part. The SEC may not cancel their out-of-conference games. In fact, Greg Sankey said that if the statistics and everything plays out the way that they hope, they will reschedule, as in schedule new opponents to play in those weeks that they lost opponents out of conference due to those conferences canceling their out-of-conference games. This is a huge, huge win, potentially, for college football. So the SEC, first off, would have an opportunity to go against a lot of schools that they don't normally go against. So the Big 12, for example, has not canceled their out-of-conference games yet. Now, the Big 12 is also majority in the South. And the South, up to this point so far, hasn't really been hit by the coronavirus. Sure, you know, people are pointing at Florida right now. Well, guess what? Florida, it was just revealed after 3 days of ridiculous reports that they were skewing the numbers coming out of Florida by 10 times, up to 10 times the number that was actually of positive cases. So all of that is not as bad as it was made out to be. Texas as well has been, the cases numbers have been going up, but the Texan rookies are supposed to report in on Saturday. So there's still a lot going on down in Texas, whether the numbers are going up or not. The death numbers continue to plummet. That's what matters at this point. There's a lot of people that are testing positive for coronavirus that are asymptomatic. They don't have any symptoms to the virus. And there's so much that we're not 110% sure about yet. So as long as those death numbers continue to plummet, as long as the hospitals are not filled up, which there are many doctors coming out saying their hospitals are not filled up anywhere near close to full capacity, this is going to be a go. All right, so do whatever you feel is comfortable. Wear your mask. If you don't like your mask, who gives a fuck? I don't. I mean, they told us in the very beginning, don't wear masks. Masks, no, that's bad. And now they're saying, wear a mask. So I don't know what's going on. All I know is do what you think is comfortable. Do what makes you comfortable with it in this entire situation. Keep doing you. We're going to get to this college football season somehow, some way. And a month and a half out from a potential kickoff with SEC games and ACC and Big 12, that's exciting. So let's keep doing what we have to do to make sure this happens, because this is, I love college football. I know you love college football, especially if you're listening to this show. Now, this is another topic on college football that we really need to touch on today. And that's the fact that there are two players yesterday who announced from smaller schools, from Group of Five schools, that they are transferring, entering the transfer portal. This is big. All right. Let's get into this a little bit. So I wrote an article yesterday reacting to Jim Nagy's, the Senior Bowl director's, comments following Troy Poljan's announcement that he would be transferring out of Central Michigan. So to give you a backstory a little bit, Poljan is a redshirt senior at Central Michigan. Central Michigan just lost two of their big out-of-conference games. They were scheduled to play Northwestern and Nebraska this year. Problem with that is if you're at Central Michigan and you lose two group Power 5 games like that, well, there goes your chances to really show and shine in front of NFL scouts. Because that's where they're going to catch you. You're going to get their attention. Think about it. Tommy Doyle is an offensive tackle at the Miami, Ohio. Nobody knew who he was until they played Ohio State. This year, there's a lot of people talking about him potentially being one of the best tackles in the upcoming class. That's insane. And it was that game against Ohio State when he went up against a bunch of NFL talent and held his own that people went, wow, this guy might actually be really good. And so, like, these out-of-conference Power 5 games, when you're in a Group of 5 school or an FCSC school, mean everything. I mean everything. If you can't play those games, you're potentially losing out on your on a big contract, on a draft pick. You might, these games are crucial. So the fact that Central Michigan lost two when the Big Ten announced that they weren't going to play out of any out-of-conference games, that hurt him tremendously because he's already a fringe guy. He's considered a top 20 tight end on Mark Jarvis's board. Mark Jarvis, Jesse Fritz, all them up there. He's considered a top 25 prospect on the draft network right now. Tight end. And so a fringe borderline, if he has a good year, he could be a late round pick type guy. He can't utilize a red shirt. So he's literally transferring out to go play somewhere. There are a couple teams that could use a tight end. LSU lost two. I don't believe LSU has a real tight end prospect. They're loaded, but I'm just saying, like, I don't believe they have a legitimate tight end on that team right now. Think about what they could do with Poljan coming in. Virginia Tech could use a tight end. ACC hasn't canceled their out-of-conference games yet, I don't think. Anyways, are we about to see a max exodus of Group of Five prospects leaving their schools to pursue Power Five glory this year in a final-ditch attempt to try and boost their NFL draft stock? So this was something that Jim Nagy raised yesterday when he reacted to Poljan's announcement. And this is an interesting thing to think about. We're entering unprecedented times. College football was not nearly as sophisticated during the Spanish flu in the 20s. It was still primitive. It was still very unregulated. There were a lot of 111 to nothing beatdowns that went on back then. The game hadn't really developed a forward pass. This is something new. And everything that happens from this point is going to be interesting to see how the different players and prospects approach their NFL draft stock potentials. It's all going to be really interesting. I think we could see a lot of guys sit out for a year, take a red shirt if they have one available. The reason that is, look, it's already started to happen a little bit. De'Arik King at Houston last year, the quarterback, took his red shirt, played two games, took a red shirt, and then transferred out to Miami. Used his red shirt as a way to buy himself a year to train, to get better, and pursue a bigger school. Granted, from what I understand, his head coach, Dana Holmgren, talked him into doing it, and it backfired on him because he was trying to keep a big group of seniors to come back and make a title run this year in the conference. Yeah, it backfired because he lost several of them. They went off to bigger and better schools. So we could potentially see a lot of prospects try to go that route as well, where they're trying to save their draft stock and use it as an opportunity to say, you know what, let's do one more year of school, let's pursue this, maybe get this minor while we're at it, pad the resume in case the NFL job doesn't work out, but use this a year to get better and train. That would be the smartest thing for a lot of these guys to do. They're fringe, potential jump guys. This college football season could be crazy, because a lot of the top talent could sit. All the anticipation, all this and that might not be legit, might not be for anything. But we will soon find out. When we come back from this break, we're going to get into some NFL stuff. Dak Prescott, the 12 different players who got tagged this year. This and more next on the John Vogel Show. Welcome back to the John Vogel Show. The best place to start your podcast is who presents us. It's Anchor. If you are looking to start a podcast, you need to get on Anchor. You need to give it a shot because they're not only going to distribute your podcast for you onto all the major platforms, they give you free tools, things that are accessible. You start monetizing immediately. It's totally worth it. Go to anchor.fm today. Give it a shot. All right. Dak Prescott. Wow. Will now be the third NFL player in history to play a season under the franchise tag. Drew Brees in 2005 with the San Diego Chargers. And Kirk Cousins, 2016 and 17 with the Washington Redskins, are the only other two quarterbacks who have played an NFL season under their franchise tag. So this story has been very interesting since the beginning, trying to re-sign Dak Prescott, and Prescott's not taking it and not going by the cowboy way, which is allow the pressure that Jerry Jones creates with the media to paint you as a selfish, horrible, terrible, no good, awful person, take a pay cut, and all of a sudden you're a hero again. This is what Jerry Jones has done for years with his star players, Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith. This is what he does in contract negotiations when they don't initially go well. The only difference here is Dak is not buying the bait. Dak continues to push for what he wants. Reportedly, before a couple months ago, before all this blew up, reportedly he was shooting for $40 million a year. There's a lot of teams right now, and the Dallas Cowboys being one of them, who do not want to pay Dak Prescott $40 million a year. I personally wouldn't either. I'd be like, all right, 30, 35 is a stretch for you. Supposedly, though, a few minutes before the deadline, the Cowboys gave him the offer that he wanted, but they didn't have enough time to complete it. Because Cowboys didn't call him sooner. This is amazing, first off. To summarize everything, this has been a roller coaster ride. This has been the Cowboys are close, and then all of a sudden they're not. And then they're back to being close, and all of a sudden, nope, they're very far away. They're nowhere near getting a contract set. And apparently now they were very close. It is not happening. The deadline is hit. He had not signed his franchise tender. There was no point. There was nothing they could do to continue the conversations. The deadline is hit. Dak will sign his franchise tag. And he will make, I think they said around 37 this year. $37 million, I think. I can't remember if it was 31 or if it was going to be 37 next year, assuming that he gets franchise tagged again. I forget. Anyways, he's going to make a good bit of cash this year. Quarterback is the highest paid position in the league. Everybody knows that. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see how the rest of this plays out. Will the Cowboys continue to pursue long-term negotiations with Dak Prescott, or will he walk next year? Or will they franchise tag him again? See, Dak has played this very smart. He hasn't been intimidated. He stuck to his guns. And now he's winning the PR battle against Big Bad Jerry Jones. Nobody is sitting there. Well, I mean, I'm sure that there are some, but nobody with a good mind and a right mind is criticizing Dak for what he's doing right now? No one. And no one should. The man has handled this like a pro. Anyways, Adam Schefter pointed out yesterday that 12 NFL players will be playing under their franchise tender slash tags, which is now the most in a single NFL season ever. He ran through the list. I'm trying to pull the list up here because it is extensive. But at the same token, it's very interesting. Here it is. Dak Prescott, obviously, just talked about him. Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver AJ Green. And Green was wanting a trade last year. The Bengals held on to him. Now they got Joe Burrow. Bought themselves more time. Los Angeles Chargers tight end Hunter Henry. Henry's been in struggle with injuries for a while, so this is risky. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Washington Redskins offensive guard slash tackle. I think he's played both in his career so far. Brandon Scherff. Excellent, excellent. In fact, now that Trent Williams is gone, he is their best offensive lineman. Joe Thuney. Matt Judon. Yannick Ngakoue. Leonard Williams. Bud Dupree. Shaq Barrett, Justin Simmons, Anthony Harris. And these are the 12 players scheduled to play a full season under the franchise tag, and is the most since the tag has been implemented since 1993. Fantastic stuff. Absolutely. Fantastic stuff. This has a lot to do with the uncertainty around the salary cap this year, I do believe. Now, I was shocked. I think a lot of us were really shocked that Chris Jones got the contract that he did with the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. It made sense, but it was surprising because they had just paid Pat Mahomes $50 million a year. And now you're going to sign this guy to 20. You're already paying an offensive lineman around 20 a year. I mean, a defensive lineman. So, I mean, you got an offensive lineman that's making like 15, but that's beside the point. So this is really, really interesting. Everything that the salary cap and the uncertainty and, it could drop at least $40 million next year, which would be an insane number for teams because, like we talked about on the show already, there are a lot of teams right now that don't have that kind of money that they can't take a hit like that next year. With the way that they've put together their salary cap. Now the Chiefs are right there. I don't know what the Chiefs are going to do. There's going to have to be a lot of contract reworking all across the board. Where there are going to be some high-profile players that just get cut. I think that if there was more certainty, we wouldn't see 12 franchise tags. I think a lot of these guys would have signed long-term deals already. But a lot of teams have to be cautious because they know that they don't have all this space here in the future. And if things don't go right, fans don't get in the stadiums this year, it's going to be a pain trying to work through that. Now, granted, you would hope that the merchandise is going to sell more because people can't go to games, right? So you have all these exclusive rights contract deals across the board. You've got a new one. You've got two video game producers now. Video game number two, though, won't be coming out, I don't think, until 2021. So you're kind of wishing that you had that in your pocket already to generate more revenue, but it's there. So you've got Madden. Madden's probably going to sell like hotcakes this year. because there's going to be a lot of people who can't go to those games. And I mean, to the actual football game, and they're going to settle and they're going to buy the video game. I know there's a lot of people that don't like it. There's a lot of people right now that are very upset with the direction of the game, considering they spend all their time on the MUT side of it and not really on the franchise mode. But it's going to sell. People are going to buy it. Especially with all these new uniforms floating around. It's just going to happen. People are going to want to play with their favorite team's new uniforms. And that will be incentive alone to buy the stupid game. All right, you're going to hope that you can sell more cards this year. You're going to hope that people are going to take that money that they normally spend on tickets and going to games and buying merchandise there and concessions and stuff and go online with it and buy merchandise, all the new jerseys and everything. That's what you're going to hope for. You know, so there's a lot there that they still want. They want a lot to happen still, and they're working on it. We'll see what happens with the entire salary cap deal in the NFL. It's something that I'm keeping a close eye on. I'm monitoring. You should be too. Just continue to follow this podcast and my website. And wherever I may end up, hint, hint, to keep up with all that that's going on right now. Anyway, that's about all the time we have for today on the John Vogel Show. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your support. If you're not already, you can go follow me on social media platforms, pretty much all of them. There is John D.A. Vogel, John Duh Vogel. You can get into the conversation there. You can check out the website, johnvogel.football. And there is a Patreon, so if you like what we're doing, you want to produce the show, you want to contribute to the show, you can totally do so there. Check out the Patreon. That's where you can get all those details. We're going to have some more exclusive content rolling out here soon that I'm working on behind the scenes, so hopefully you all can get into that as well. Again, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your support. God love y'all. We'll be back tomorrow for the final episode of the week.